And we've been looking over the last few weeks at this chapter 8 of Romans. And we're building up to, we're looking at the manifestation of the sons of God. And so far, as you know, we started really looking at verse 14, where it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You know, the sons of God are Spirit-led. You know, they're led of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. You know, because the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. He'll lead us and teach us the things concerning Jesus. You know, we've seen that from verse 14, that sons are Spirit-led. Then we looked at verse 15 and we saw that to look at the spirit of adoption. You know, we're no longer slaves, but we are sons. We've been adopted into the family. You know, we can cry out, Abba Father. We can call God our daddy. We can call him Father. You know, that wasn't a privilege that any slave had. You know, when we were outside of the family of God, we didn't have that privilege. We might have prayed the prayer, you know, our Father which art in heaven. But we had no right to address God as Father. But when we've been brought into the family, now he is our Father. He's our dad. You know, we can go to him. And I remember a brother coming to us, many years ago. We were meeting one Saturday. We had one Saturday meeting in the Women's Institute Hall. And I met up with him. He was at the conference last week. I can't think what his name is now. Brother Bill Partington. Mm-hmm. I remember him saying once, and it got inside me when he said it all those years ago. He said that, we can, as if it were, climb up on Dad's knee and look into his face and ask him for something we need. You know, we have that close fellowship, that close intimate relationship with God. Now, he is our Abba, our Father. Whatever we ask him, if we're asking aright, you know, we're not asking for anything that's amiss or anything that's wrong. You know, how can he deny our request? Jesus taught the parable, you know, if a son asks for a fish, you know, will a father give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, you know, will he give him a stone? Or a bread, will he give him a stone? You know, how can God refuse the request from his children? You know, we have that privileged position of being adopted into the family. Sons of God. Then we saw in verse 16 that we have the Holy Spirit gives us assurance that we are sons. You know, we might not feel like a son sometimes. We might not feel like a child of God. But we have the Holy Spirit. He assures us. You know, it says, we are children of God. As it says in John's letter, right, it says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You know, we are his children. Then, I think it was last week, was it? We looked at children being heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. You know, sons are heirs. There's an inheritance to be received. You know, we have a privilege. You know, I think this is really good. The scripture says here, it says, not only are we heirs of God, but we're joint heirs with Jesus. Joint heirs with Christ. You know, whatever has been promised to Jesus. You know, whatever has been given to Jesus, you know, is ours as well. Because we're joint heirs with him. Well, that's where we stopped last week. And that verse actually goes on to say something else. And I probably won't be very long tonight. I think this is perhaps the shortest of the messages I've done so far. But it goes on in verse 17. It says, yes, it says, if children then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And then it goes on in verse 18, it says, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Yes, last time we saw from the first half of that verse, verse 17, that we are heirs of God. That we're joint heirs with Jesus. But this verse then goes and says, "If we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Now, I think first of all we need to understand there's a word in that verse which causes a lot of problems, and it's the word suffer. We need to understand what is being said here. The word suffer, when it says, "If we suffer with him," and then it goes on, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be." The sufferings, it's not talking about suffering things like sickness, troubles, the pressures and things of our needs. It's not talking about that type of suffering. Yeah, we might suffer with things like that. We might have sickness and that causes us to suffer. We might have needs which piles the pressure on and causes us to suffer. And it's not talking about being guilty about something we've done wrong or coming under condemnation. Because this chapter starts off that those who are in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation. You know, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. So it's not talking about that type of suffering. Because all those things were paid for at the cross. All those things were dealt with when Jesus shed his blood to redeem us. Now, what it does mean, and I think you find if you look it up in the Greek, it talks about suffering persecution. Suffering tribulation. You know, Jesus said that we will have tribulation, we will have persecution in this age. Why? Because we've got an enemy. You know, we've all had some type of persecution. Well, I remember there was a prayer having a go at me when I was younger. I don't get it so much now because I don't mix with the same crowd. But at school, they laughed at me almost every day. Because of what I stood up for and what I believed. You know, the fact that I had on my exercise, every exercise book I owned, and these went into the teachers, these went through the staff room. You know where all these books went? Because I had on the front covers of my books a Bible verse. I might write something like "Jesus Saves" on it, or I had a sticker on it that stuck on it. I can't remember what sort of stickers you said, little round stickers like "It's Time to Seek the Lord" or things like that. All these things were on the front of my book. So I got persecuted. I got persecuted by the kids and I got persecuted by the teachers. So we've all suffered persecution. And I don't get it quite so much now because my working environment is in a Christian organisation. So, but we get it from the world. You know, when you're trying to witness, you get that sort of persecution. Or, you know, people around you on your street. They're not having a go at you personally. That's what we've got to appreciate. You know, that persecution isn't directed at us personally. We might feel it personally, but it's directed at Jesus in us. You know, the devil hates Jesus. And because of that, he hates us as well. So he's been directed to us to try and get to Jesus. And that's what we've got to realize and appreciate. You know, so that's what the word here, suffering, means. It's talking about suffering persecution for the sake of Jesus or for the sake of the gospel. You know, if we suffer with him, the Bible says, we will also be glorified together. In other words, if we're going to suffer the same kind of persecution that Jesus has, if we're going to be persecuted with him, we will also share in his glory. Now what's his glory? That word "their glory" means to exalt, to lift up, or to have honour. You know, God will honour those that stand up for him. If you suffer persecution now, God is going to honour you. There will come a time when you will be exalted and lifted up. You know, some people teach, some people preach that we can have all, we have all the suffering, we take all the suffering, and God gets all the glory. Well, that's not right. That's not what the scripture says. It's like Elvis, isn't it? He takes all the blame. He has all the suffering and the blame, and we get all the glory. No, that's not what the scripture here teaches. It doesn't say that we still have the suffering and God gets the glory. It said if we're going to have the suffering, but we're going to suffer like Jesus did, we're going to get the glory as well. We're going to be a partaker or an inheritor of the glory. It's talking about being joint heirs with Jesus, heirs of God. This theme is still carrying on here. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. So that means if we're going to inherit all that belongs to God and all that belongs to Jesus, and that includes the persecution, that includes the tribulation, that includes the suffering we've got to suffer because of belonging to Him. You know, that's what Jesus said in John 16:33. He says, look, in this world you will have tribulation. But then He says, cheer up, guys. He says, I've overcome the world. He says, you know, be cheerful, you know, cheer up, be cheerful. He says, because I have overcome the world. If He's overcome the world, because we're in Him, that means we're going to share in His victory. We're going to share in His victory. Now the sufferings we go through now, the tribulations, the persecution, what's it say here in verse 18? It says, they cannot be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Or, that's the title of my message tonight. And I've taken it from this statement here. It says, if we are going to suffer, and if those sufferings that we go through now cannot be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us, that means it's going to get better. It can't get any worse. It's going to get better. Because we're going to share in His glory. And that's the title of the message. It's going to get better. Yeah, but we're sons of God. Now, we might have a few problems. We might have a few things along the way. But it's getting better. Do you know what Paul puts it like? Paul's writing to the Romans here. But when he writes in his letter to the Corinthians, he puts it like this. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I like that. He calls it a light affliction. Now when we're going through it, it feels like it's all, the whole world is caving in on us. It feels like everybody's against us. You know, we can't find anybody that likes us. Not in the world, not in the church, not at home. Everything's against us. But Paul said it's a light affliction. It's only temporary. That's it. It's but for a moment. And what's it? It's ready to give way to the glory. Now, there's a little thought here. And so just to, I said it wouldn't be a long one tonight, but just to, I want you to consider this. There's coming a day of reckoning. And everything we've suffered will fade into insignificance as God honours the sons and raises them up. All the persecution we've gone through will feel like, oh, is that all it was? You know what it's like when I know we're told not to worry in the scriptures. You know, but when you're not sure about what's going to happen, you've got something, so you know something's coming up, and you're not quite sure how it's going to work out, and how it's going to sort of pan out. Yet when you actually arrive, and you go through it, and then you look back on it, you think, well, what was I worried about? Because it fades into insignificance, because you know what's... They say hindsight's a great thing, isn't it? You know, it's good to look back. If we could have hindsight before we arrived at somewhere, none of us would have any worries, would we? You know, somebody once said this, all the things we tend to worry about, we tend to be fearful of, are based on something that's not going to happen. If you think about it. We get so fearful and worried about what this one might do, because when it actually comes to the point, it never works out like that anyway. It doesn't happen the way we expect, or the way we worried about it, and the way we were fearful about it. And that's what the devil does. He tries to make it so big. Really, it's nothing at all. He built it up. But this day of reckoning is coming, when all we've suffered will just fade away into insignificance, as God honours his sons and raises them up. Now, what I'm going to say now, I want you to listen. I'm not talking about when we get to heaven, although that's true as well. Because that's what a lot of people say. Well, it's all going to be alright when we get to heaven. We'll look back, when we get to heaven, we'll look back on all the sufferings in the world and think, well, it's great. When we see Jesus face to face, yeah, yes, that's true, but that's not what I'm talking about here. And my key reason for that is a word found in verse 18. And it's this word here. It's this statement. It says here in verse 18, he says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now that word there, reveal, means to take off the cover or to make known. Now, who is God going to make all this known to? Is it going to be to all the angels in heaven? Well, what good will that do? Is it going to be to all the other saints that have gone through the same type of sufferings that we have? No, it's not going to be it either. God is going to make this known to the people that have persecuted us. The people that have put the pressure on. You know, when they say, well, we ground him down day after day. And he didn't give in, he didn't yield, he didn't go under. And now God's going to God will raise him up. And people see that God's doing something. You know, like I say, it's because in the next verse, I'm not going to get onto this tonight because I'll leave that for another occasion, but it goes on to say that the whole of creation is eagerly waiting for manifestation of the sons of God. God will manifest in us by his power and his glory. He's going to do that. But he's going to reveal us to the world. To the world. Those that have caused us the heartache. Those that have persecuted us. Those that have caused the suffering. And that just goes to show us the heart of God. It shows us God's heart. It's not so that we can... Not to give us that sort of feeling of superiority. Well, we're better than now. You know, we're better than them. That's not the reason for it. You know, now, I don't think a lot of people think like this. But what God will be trying to do when he raises us up, he's trying to draw people to himself. He's trying to get people to heaven. He's not trying to keep them out of heaven. You know, when God manifests his sons, it's so that the world will see and come to him. You know, God, we'll get onto this in the next time I do it. But, you know, sons are carriers of the blessing. You know, sons, it's something that Dad preached a few weeks ago, and I thought, God quickened it to me during the sermon, so I just scribbled it on a piece of paper and kept it in my page here. You know, sons are for signs and wonders. He said that a few weeks ago in his sermon, so I wrote it down. Signs and wonders. Sons are for signs and wonders. You know, God is going to manifest his, reveal his power in us. You know, he's going to honor us. He's going to reveal us the glory which shall be revealed in us. God revives us in order to draw the world to himself. He's not trying to get people out, keep people out of heaven, which a lot of people think. You know, God wouldn't have me. You know, God wouldn't have, we sometimes, oh, you know, he'll never be saved. He's too far gone, you know, what hope is there for him? But God's not trying to keep him out, he's trying to get him in. That's why he's going to reveal us to the world. You know, there's coming a day of reckoning. Yes, God's going to honour those that have suffered with him, those that have been persecuted by him. And it's only so that those that have been the perpetrators of it, they see and have an opportunity to come to him. So there's something for us to think about there tonight. Yeah, next time we look at it, which will be in a 2 or 3 weeks time, next time I'm due to speak. Well, we're going to get on to verse 19, which the whole of the five or six, whatever we've done, this is number five, the whole of the five lessons have been built up to verse 19. You know that the whole of creation is eagerly waiting for the revealing or the manifestation of the sons of God. But we're joint heirs with Christ. Yeah, we suffered with him. We're going to be glorified with him. Yeah, we suffered a little bit. Well, we're going to be, God's going to honour us. God's going to raise us up. Now, it's going to get better. It's not going to get worse. Now, they might tell us it's going to get worse. They might tell us they're going to turn up the persecution. In actual fact, you might not like to hear this, but I have it on good authority that people in the East are praying that we get a little bit of persecution. Because people in China and out that way, they know what it is to be persecuted, and the church is really strong, it's on fire for God. You know, persecution, what happened when the persecution came in the Bible? It just fanned the flames as people spread everywhere. It took the gospel everywhere. You know, persecution caused a revival. So, persecution isn't that bad. It might not feel like it might not feel good, but God will be glorified. And there's coming a day when God will honour us as well. Amen.